This morning I brought you a message on the resurrection of the dead. And the Apostle Paul, under the leadership of God's Spirit, devoted an entire chapter of 50 some odd verses to that subject, the resurrection of the dead. And we were able to cover it. We were able, by God's Spirit, to deal with the subject, I thought, effectively. I thought the Lord blessed us. And tonight, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, there's an entire chapter devoted to this subject of speaking in tongues. An entire chapter. And I'm going to do my best to cover the entire chapter tonight. I might say that what I preached this morning and what I'll be preaching tonight in regard to this 14th chapter is found in my commentary. That's one of the reasons why these commentaries were published, is to inform people on these subjects in plain, everyday language that you can understand. Now, I first encountered this thing of speaking in tongues as we know it today, the charismatic gibberish that people call speaking in tongues. I encountered this a long, long time ago, 1952. And some very prominent men, some dear friends of mine, became involved in this Pentecostal charismatic tangent. And today it is more prevalent than ever before. I've heard different television speakers, men and women, speak in this, what they call speaking in tongues. Even a man who ran for president of the United States, Pat Robertson, speaks in tongues. I've heard him speak in tongues on television. I've heard Swaggart speak in tongues. I've heard Baker speak in tongues, and quite a number of women speak in what they call speaking in tongues. And when we went to England this past spring, I ran into quite a bit of it over there talking about it. I didn't actually get in the meetings, but it's moving rapidly in England, this country and in England. And so I prepared a message and decided to speak on the subject, speaking in tongues. Let's see what God's Word has to say about it. And in introducing the message, I wish to give you six things that I know. These are things that we know about this subject. No question about this. These six things are true. You can write them down if you want to. Then we'll get to chapter 14. First of all, and you can verify this if you'll buy a concordance, if you'll get a concordance. We have concordances in the church office here that sell for $10. Every word in the Bible is in this concordance with its Hebrew and Greek meaning in the back. You don't have to know Hebrew or Greek. All you have to know is how to look something up, and it'll tell you the meaning of the word. And every time the word tongue or tongues is used in the Bible, every time the word tongue or tongues is used in the Bible, it refers to this thing right here. You know, James says the tongue is a little member, yet it's set on fire with hell. It's talking about this instrument that's used for eating, speaking, licking, postage stamps, or whatever. But that's the first meaning of the word tongue, this small instrument in your mouth. Secondly, and this, the Greek, every time it's used in the New Testament, with the exception of one time, every single time, tongues, plural, tongues, always refers to a definite language spoken by somebody somewhere. That's exactly, you look it up, it's the same word. It's 1100 in the back of the Greek lexicon. And it means a specific language spoken by people. Now, that's the fact. All right, secondly, the second thing we know is this. And you know, I have the scripture down. You have no need to go back and read in Genesis where God confounded the languages of people. They were building the tower, and they all began to speak different languages, and they were scattered over the earth. That was the origin of languages or tongues. Secondly, we know that at Pentecost, God gave the disciples the ability to preach the gospel in other tongues. In other what? Languages. Languages which they never learned, and languages which some of them had never heard. Peter, James, John, Matthew, these apostles were able to stand up at Pentecost, and there were gathered there people from all nations. And these disciples preached the gospel. They didn't just stand up and rattle off some gibberish. They preached Christ. Christ eternal, Christ incarnate, Christ our righteousness, Christ our sin offering, Christ our Lord and Savior, Christ risen, Christ. They preached the gospel. Now let me read that to you. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's get serious about this. Now let's settle this issue once and for all. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. Now look it up with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. See all those countries? And these people were assembled there for Pentecost. And they spoke different tongues, languages like we speak today. Spanish, French, Russian, German, Portuguese, all these English, all these different languages, and the apostles were preaching the gospel. And these men heard them. They were speaking in tongues. But these men heard them preach Christ and the gospel in their language. Isn't that what it's saying? That's exactly what it's saying. That's a fact. They preached the gospel in other languages. And then the third thing. In this church at Corinth, these gifts had continued. No question about that. This is in the very earliest days. Paul went down to Corinth. Paul spoke several languages. Paul went on all these missionary journeys, and he didn't have to have an interpreter. No matter where God sent him, he spoke the gospel in their language. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. I speak more languages than anybody here. That's what he said. I speak more languages than anybody here. Now here's the third thing. There were in this church at Corinth men who had these special gifts. Now turn back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 4. There were many gifts in the early church. You see, they had their Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament scriptures. And God gave these apostles and elders and men in the churches special gifts. They had power to heal. They had gift of faith, they had the gift of languages, they had the gift of knowledge, they had the gift of prophecy. They had these supernatural gifts. God gave it to them as a witness that they were his men. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Holy Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now remember, these are men who went forth to a pagan world, to an antagonistic world, to a hostile world, without a Bible except the Old Testament. They didn't have I stand up here and I tell you to first turn to 1 Corinthians. They went to pagan countries. They didn't have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Hebrews, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, any of these books. And they were preaching that Christ is Lord and Christ is the Redeemer and Christ is King, and God gave them these special gifts. You know, Paul one time, a bunch of people around him, and he put some sticks on a fire and a snake bit him. He shook it off in the fire, and they waited on him to die, and he didn't die. And they said, hey, this man's a god. He said, no, but I represent God. He gave them these. He told them if they drink any deadly thing, it would not hurt them. If they touch snakes, it wouldn't hurt them. They'd speak in other languages. These men had special gifts, even in this church. All right, verse 9, to another faith, to another gifts of healing. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, different languages, the ability to speak in languages, to another the ability to interpret the language. So these men had gifts. Look at chapter 14, verse 18. This is the one I quoted a while ago, chapter 14, verse 18. Paul said, I thank my God, and it's God who gave it to him. I speak with languages more than all of you. More than all of you. So that's the third thing I know, that there was men in the church at Corinth had these gifts, supernatural gifts by the Holy Spirit, given as he will for the furtherance of the gospel. Not to show off, but for the furtherance of the gospel. All right, fourthly, I know this. Now, you get a hold of your seat there a minute. This is true. Nowhere in the Word of God, absolutely nowhere, this is an invention of me, nowhere in the Word of God does the word tongues ever refer to a heavenly language. Now, that's what they call it. They call it a heavenly language. I've been among them. I know. I listen to them. And they stand up and they get under some kind of spell and they start rattling off syllables and words that have no meaning to anyone. And they say it's a heavenly language, that their spirit prayeth. Their understanding doesn't pray, their spirit prays. But nowhere in this Bible, you check and see, does tongues ever refer to a heavenly language or gibberish or unintelligible chatter as practiced today. Look back at chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of what? Of men. Not the gibberish, not a heavenly language. I speak with the tongues, the languages of men. You see that? Look back at chapter 12, verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. You remember I read this a moment ago? The middle of the verse there, to another is given different kinds of tongues. Not one heavenly language or gibberish or chatter, but languages. You see what I'm saying? Paul and the apostles and these men at Corinth, yes, they had the gift of tongues. It was not a chatter, a gibberish, a heavenly language. It was literally the gift to speak and preach in another language that they had not learned in school. Another language, language of men, different kinds of tongue, different languages. All right, fifthly, now here I know this. The problem at Corinth, and everywhere you have human beings, you're going to have a misuse of things. Wherever you have human beings. And the problem at Corinth, and the problem Paul deals with in this chapter, was many of the people were discouraged because they couldn't speak in tongues. Members of the church, Paul spoke in other languages, Probably some of the other apostles and some of the elders in the church at Corinth spake in other languages, other tongues, and many of the people couldn't do it, and they were discouraged. They were troubled because they couldn't speak in languages, only their own language. See, God gives as he will these gifts. All right, secondly, and some of these men who did speak, we'll see this in a moment, became elated and puffed up with their ability. They became puffed up and elated with their ability to speak other languages. That would be something pretty hard to handle. If suddenly, I'd like to be able to go to Africa when I was over there, and I had to speak to an interpreter. I just sitting there thinking, boy, I'd like to speak French. But what if I couldn't? I'd go and speak French to them. I'd go down in Mexico and speak Spanish. And I'd go over to England and talk like they talk, you know, and be able to speak. There'd be a danger of me being a human being, misusing it, abusing it, showing off, and that's what they were doing. They were taking these gifts and they were abusing them and misusing them, and you're going to see that in a few moments, and Paul sets them straight. Now, here the sixth thing I know is this. Paul writes this chapter to inform us as to the author of these gifts. The author. And secondly, the reason for these gifts. And thirdly, the proper use of them. Now, let's look at chapter 14. Let's see what I can do with this. See if I can help us. I know maybe somebody here said, well, I hear these people and they sound so charismatic and so elated and so happy and so out of this world and so out of touch with reality, and they're just bouncing on a cloud and whoop to do and speaking in tongues. It's phony. It may be real to them, but it's phony according to this book. All right, here he starts in verse chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after love. Just what Jim read. There's something greater than gifts. There's something greater than being able to speak another language. There's something greater than having the ability to heal the sick. There's something greater than the ability to interpret tongues and to have knowledge, and that is to have love for Christ. The love of Christ in you, the love of Christ for you, and the love of Christ for others. That's the greatest gift. Look at chapter 12, verse 31. This is the last, when he talked about these gifts, he says in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gift of healing? No. Do all have the gift of languages? No. Do all interpret? No. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'll show you something better. Look at verse 1, chapter 13. I may speak with the languages of men and of angels and have not love, for I'm nothing but a clanging gong and a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, I may have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and theology and knowledge and have faith so I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. So there's something better than speaking in another language. There's something better than having the ability to heal somebody. There's something infinitely better, and that's to know the love of God which passeth understanding, and have the love of Christ in your heart. Now you covet that. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And he said one of these days tongues are going to cease. It's going to be one language in glory. But love's not going to cease. One day these prophecies are going to cease, but love's not going to cease. One day all of these things that we're playing with today are going to be gone like children's toys, but love's not going to cease. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 14, you follow after love. And desire spiritual gifts. But I'll tell you a gift you really need to desire, but rather that you may preach and teach, that you may expound the word. This is what he's saying. He is saying desire spiritual gifts. But remember, all the gifts and all that God does for men and through men and in men is in order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it is. Someone told me just before I walked through that door to come to this pulpit about a preacher friend of mine who's having some problems, emotional problems, the pressure, the stress, of pastoring and organization and all these things, and the church is going to give him some time off. If I could sit down with that young man, I'd tell him this. I'd tell you a way to avoid a lot of that stress and pressure. Start preaching Christ. Preach Christ. Determined to know nothing but Christ. That's where it is. That's what the gifts are for. That's why we're here. That's why we've assembled here, to preach Christ Jesus. Preach Christ Jesus. Follow love and desire gifts, but rather that you may preach. I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to preach Christ. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We're not seeking organization and all these different things. We're seeking the opportunity to preach Christ. And verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now the word unknown is not in the Bible. It's not in the original. Don't you see it's in italics there? It's in italics. It's put in there by the translators. He that speaketh in a language. But what he's saying here, in a language men do not know to whom he's preaching. He speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Let me give an example. Brother Groover, suppose he were here tonight, or Brother Howard. They both speak fluent Spanish. God's given them the gift to preach the gospel, or Bill Clark speaks French. And if he's here, this is what Paul, he that speaketh in French to the congregation at 13th Street speaketh not to anybody. Now God knows what he's saying, and he knows what he's saying. But you don't know what he's saying. Isn't that what he's saying here? He that speaketh in a language. And these men in the church there had this gift of speaking in other languages, and the word never means anything but languages. It never means gibberish or chatter or unintelligible words. It means a language. And if I speak in another language, I don't speak to men, and if they don't understand me, I may speak to God. But verse 3, but he that preacheth in the language men knows, he that preacheth Christ, he speaketh unto men to edification. He edifies people. He exhorts them and he comforts them. He that speaketh in another language edifieth himself. I'm sure Walter Gruber would like to speak in Spanish here. He's a lot better at it, he thinks, than in English. But he'd be edified, he'd get a blessing. But we wouldn't get a blessing. He that prophesieth edifieth the whole church. Now verse 5. I wish all of you could speak with other languages. I wish I could. I would that you all speak with other languages. But, well, why didn't Paul lay hands on them and get them started? That's what they tell me on television. Come down front, we'll lay hands on you, baptize the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. Why didn't Paul do that? He wanted them to. But they didn't. But I tell you, he says this, I wish all of you could speak the gospel in other languages and go everywhere telling men about Christ, but I'd rather you preached. Greater is he that prophesieth, that preacheth, than he that speaketh in other language, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edifying. Now, when I go down to Mexico and preach, I stand here and preach, and Walter stands beside me, and I'll speak, and he'll translate, he'll interpret. I call him my interrupter, not my interpreter, you know. And I'll say something else, and he'll interpret it. They're edified that way. Charlie's done it, and Paul's done it, and different ones of you men been there and preached in English, and they translate. And that's what he's saying here. If a man comes speaking in another language that no one understands, and you don't have an interpreter, no one's edified. But if you interpret it well. Now, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you down there in Corinth and speak with other languages, what shall I profit you? I'll tell you how I can profit you, except I speak to you by revelation. I can profit you that way. As Christ is revealed to the heart, the knowledge of our sins and His mercy and His will of redemption, prophesying, a telling forth of his purpose in Christ and the doctrines of his grace, I tell you, men will be profited that way. Now watch this picture here. Even things without life-giving sound, even things that do not talk. Now here's what he's saying. You see in verse 5, he said, I wish all of you could speak in other languages, but my primary concern is that you preach and teach the gospel, witness the gospel. For greater is he that preacheth than he that speaks with other languages, unless he interprets, unless someone interprets what he's saying, then he can edify. Now, if I come to you speaking in these other languages, I don't profit you anything unless I come to you speaking by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or even things without life-giving sound, like this organ here. Unless they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is being played? In other words, he says, when a person plays a musical instrument, he must play certain notes set in order. Certain notes. Or no one will know the song he's playing. I'm going to play Amazing Grace over here. Let me give it a try. Is this thing on my... You like that? What's wrong with it? Well, it's a sound. But the notes... Now, Mike come up and play it. And put those notes in order. Everybody's blessed. It's the same thing. This is what Paul is saying about this speaking in tongues. A man may stand, and he may be saying the truth in another language, but it doesn't mean a thing to you. Now watch this in the next line here. He said, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, unless they give a distinction in the sound, unless the notes are set in order, how shall it be known what you're playing? How do you know what he's playing? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall a man prepare himself for battle? In other words, a trumpet sounds for the men charge or retreat. How does it sound charge or retreat? It sounds charge or retreat by some distinct notes that are set in proper order that the ear of that man hears and recognizes and knows what to do. He knows whether to charge or whether to fall back. All right, watch this now. So likewise, ye, except you utter by the tongue words signified or significant to be understood, how shall it be known what is speaking? You speak in the air. Could I illustrate that? I didn't warn you ahead of time, John, but would you stand up and help me, John Fleming? I want you to do something for me. I want you to quote a couple of verses from Isaiah 53 in German. Just, y'all listen to this. He's going to quote the scripture. He's going to quote it in another language. And you're not going to know a thing he's saying. Do that for me. Thank you, sir. That blessed you, didn't it? That's what Paul said. This man can speak German. He can speak a little Spanish. And that's just like I beat on that organ. Paul said it's not going to mean anything to you unless these notes are set in order that you can understand that your ear picks up and the trumpet blowing charge or retreat. And then if a man, he was quoting the blessed word of God. He was dealing with the mysteries of Christ's revelation. And if we could come here and listen to him for days and go home as ignorant as when we came. But God knows what you said and you know what you said. And if I could speak German, I could tell them in English what you said. I don't know why we're having trouble with this thing. That's what it says right there, verse 9. Right? So likewise ye, unless you utter by tongue, words easy to be understood. How is it going to be known what is spoken? You speak in the air. That's what John just did. As far as we're all concerned, he just spoke in the air. Now, verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. There are many languages, there are thousands of languages. The Bible's translated in over 1,100 languages. And none of them is without signification. To whom? To the man who knows the language. They all have a meaning to the man that knows the language. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian, a foreigner to me, if I know not the language. Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts. Now here it is. There was fellows in this church, reals. Well, you can imagine. These men were human beings. They were ambitious men. And in that church, God gave Paul and several of them the gift to speak, and everybody wanted that gift. It's an amazing gift. They could just stand here, these men stand up and speak in the gospel in a half a dozen languages. And they were zealous of it. They were discouraged because they didn't have it. And others wanted this gift to speak in another language. And even so, verse 12, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual, you seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Let's quit playing with it and showing off with it and abusing it and misusing it and desiring it as the end in itself. And let's seek to edify somebody. Edify somebody. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in another language pray that he may interpret. If I pray in an unknown language, a language people don't know, like John just did in speaking, my spirit prayeth, my heart prayeth, but my understanding's unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit of God, and I will pray with understanding. Whose understanding? That you might understand. And I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding. Otherwise, verse 16, when you bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned, the man who doesn't know the language, say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you're saying? Thou verily givest thanks well. And John spoke that verse well. But the other's not edified. Isn't that it, Charlie? That's exactly what he said. I thank God I speak with languages more than all of you. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a language men don't understand. Now here's what I told you a while ago. They were misusing it. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Be not children. Be not immature. And that's all this is, an immaturity. It's a clamoring after something. I'll tell you one thing. When you name all those gifts over there, it's strange that they pick on this tongue business. I don't see them healing anybody. I don't see them raising anybody from the dead. I don't see them uttering any true prophecies. But they pick this tongues deal. And it's just children. It be not children in your understanding. How be it in malice be children? Don't hold grudges. Children usually don't. Grown people do. In your attitude, in your understanding, in your wisdom, be mature. In malice and hurt feelings and misunderstandings and grudges, be children. But in understanding, be men. It's written in, now watch this. In the law it's written. This is found the Old Testament. It's found in Romans 19. It refers back to the law. It's written, with men of other languages, a man of another language, a man speaking a language he didn't learn, and other lips will I speak to this people. And yet for all that, they'll not hear me. You know what Paul is saying here? If I had the gift of speaking other languages like these men had, you know people still wouldn't believe the gospel I'm preaching unless God revealed it to their hearts. Folks aren't converted by signs and miracles and wonders. They're converted by the Word of God and by Christ.
Well, they'd come from miles around. They'd fill this building, and I could put on a show speaking in all these languages. But you know, Abraham said to the rich man in hell, they will not be convinced though one rose from the dead. And they'll not be convinced though they speak in a language they haven't learned.
God has to reveal the gospel to their hearts. So watch this now. If therefore the whole church... verse 22. I want you to see this. He said in verse 21, in the law it's written, with men of other languages and other lips will I speak to this people, and yet for all that, they won't hear me. In fact, when they, over at Pentecost, when they heard these men speak the gospel in their language, they said, they're drunk. They're drunk. They're full of new wine. They began to mock them and make fun of them. They didn't hear that gospel. But now watch verse 22. Wherefore,
tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe.
Have you ever heard people say that tongues are a sign you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Tongues are not a sign for the believer. The believer's not looking for signs. The believer walks by faith. The believer believes God. He's not looking for signs. So tongues are a sign, but not for the believer. Tongues are a sign to them that don't believe. Let me show you that in Hebrews 2. Turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews 2, 3. Now listen to this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by our Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, the apostles, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. These gifts of tongues and healing and power were given to these apostles as a sign. To whom? To the believer? To the unbeliever. To get his ear, to get his attention. Like Nicodemus said to Christ, I know you're from God. You couldn't do this if you weren't from God. So tongues are not a sign for a believer. They're a sign for an unbeliever. Now watch the next line, verse 22. But preaching, prophesying, teaching serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. You know what the believer wants to hear? He wants to hear the Word of God. He wants to hear the Word of God. You know what the unbeliever's got to hear? He's got to have a sign, a miracle, because he's not interested in the Word of God. I can stand here Sunday after Sunday preaching Christ, 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 Christ. And those who love Christ and love his Word will come and sit and listen, and they'll be edified and strengthened and comforted and instructed. If I start popping off in other tongues and gifts and wonders and healings, you know who's going to fill this place? Unbelievers. Unbelievers. The religionist. Because that's a sign for them. You see, they're looking for signs. But the believer's looking for the Word. So, verse 23, if the whole church be come together into one place, and all of you speak with languages, and there come in a man who doesn't know the gospel, he's unlearned, he's an unbeliever, will he not say you're crazy? Well, he'd be justified if he did say he's crazy. What's wrong with those people? But if I preach, teach, prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or unlearned, he's convinced. He's convinced to be sinned. He's convinced of the glory of God. He's convinced of the sacrifice of Christ. He's judged of all. And the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report God's in the midst of those people of a truth. How is it then, brethren? Why are you doing this? When you come together, everyone has a psalm, everyone has a doctrine, everyone has a language, everyone has a revelation, everyone has a interpretation. Let everything be done unto edifying. This is not God's way. I went to this church over there in Indiana, and they were all whoop-de-dooing and all praying at the same time and all talking at the same time. And I said, hey, this is not of God. God's not in this.
Everybody a one-man show. Everybody showing off his gifts and ability and waving his hands and hollering and talking. Verse 27, if a man speak in another language, if any man speak in another language, let it be by two, or the most by three, and that by chorus, one at a time. And let somebody interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him sit in silence. Don't let him open his mouth. If you see speaking a language, and these men had the gifts, but if there be not someone there who knows that language and can interpret that language, let him be silent. Let him speak to himself or to God. And let the preachers, prophets, speak two or three. Let the other judge. Let them speak one at a time. Let the others listen and discern. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first man hold his peace. Don't speak all at once. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And I'll tell you this about it, though. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What you got to say better be according to this book. Don't want nothing new. You know what he's saying? What you feel led to say better be what God's already said. I hear a lot of these fellas talking about, God told me this morning. I'm sorry, there's no new revelation. This is it right here. That's somebody else talking to you. It wasn't God. And I beg your pardon. Because the prophets are subject to the prophets. God's not the author of confusion, tumult. God's not the author of tumult and confusion. God's the author of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You see that? But this does not apply to women. Now, here's where we're headed in this day. We're headed way out in left field. We not only got all this tongues and clatter and gibberish and unintelligible talk and hand-waving and cutting up and everybody talking at once and acting like madmen. When the Scripture says God's in the heavens, let your word be few. Don't be hasty to utter anything before God. God's in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Fall down and bow down. Bow down and worship the Lord our God. Let Him be exalted, not the flesh. But now the ladies have taken over in direct rebellion against the Word of God. And in this same thing, he's talking about speaking in other languages, he's talking about praying, he's talking about prophesying, he's talking about teaching, and he's talking about confusion, and he said in verse 34, let your women keep absolute silence in the church. It is not permitted for them to speak. They're commanded to be under obedience, as saith the law of God. That's what the law of God said. Your husband, Eve, will rule over you. He's the head of the home. He's the priest of the home. And in the church, God never called a woman to preach. He never called a woman to teach men, to usurp authority over the men, or to run the business of the church, or to run the committees. I beg your pardon. But to be in silence. That's what the Word of God said. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. It's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. It's a shame for a woman to take charge in worship. It's a shame for a woman to stand up, rattle off in the church and carry on like that. It's indecent. It's out of God's will. Contrary to the Word of God. Well, we've got a new revelation, you know. This is a different day. Look at verse 36. What? Did the Word of God came out of you or to you? You know what he's saying? Came not the Word of God, came the Word of God out from you? Did the Word of God originate with you? Did God's way originate with you? Did God's purpose originate with you? Did God's gospel originate with you? Or did it come unto you? We've got to follow the Word. We're not going to be inventors of new ways of worshiping God. The gospel didn't originate with us. It came to us. That's what he said. It came to us, not from us. So if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, they are the commandments of the Lord. Now, if any, I know it's might be sitting right here. Somebody might say, well, I don't like that, let your women keep silent. Paul said, do you think yourself a prophet, a preacher, a spiritual? You acknowledge what I say is God's word and God's commandment. The gospel didn't come from you, it came to you. You're not the originator or the founder of the way God's church is to worship and preach. You simply follow what God says. And if a man is spiritual, and if he is a preacher, he'll acknowledge that the things I write are the commandments of God. Verse 38, but if anybody wants to be ignorant, let him stay ignorant. Boy, I tell you, he's tough. You think I'm tough. These things I've said here, Paul said, about tongues and gifts and languages. Now, he said, you acknowledge this is the commandment of God. What I say is the last word. I speak by commandment of God. That's what Paul said. Now, if a man's going to be ignorant, just let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Covet to prophesy. And don't forbid men to speak with other languages. My, that's fine if it's a language.